Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The big dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh! No! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Austin just gets stuck in the stutter!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for a Roman Reigns heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thanks for joining me. It is Wednesday, March 7th, 2018. Thanks for joining me. This is a recap of WWE Raw and the look ahead to Fastlane and some overall WrestleMania thoughts. So sit back, enjoy. And as I said a number of weeks ago, I'm trying to make this more regular. As of late, it has been difficult for me to do. But I'm back. I'm in my on my mic that I like. I'm not on my phone, which I've been using lately, but I haven't really had a choice. So thanks for joining me, and I will be getting to Fastlane in just a few moments. But for those of you in the Northeast, yeah, it's March, which means another snowstorm. But spring can't be far away, right? I mean, we're in March. This can't last much longer. At least we hope, right? So Anyway, those of you not in the Northeast probably don't know what the hell I'm talking about. We're getting another storm, snowstorm, a couple feet. We'll see. So anyway, let's move along to wrestling here. And by the way, follow me on Twitter if you haven't already done so, at the WWE Podcast. It's the underscore WWE underscore podcast. I'd appreciate a follow and a DM if you want to talk wrestling. I'm always available if you want to do that. I love hearing from you guys. And I'm also on Spreaker, on Apple Podcasts, and probably any other podcast app that you may have. I'm also trying to work on resurrecting the WWE Podcast website that went down a number of months ago. I am working on getting that back, and I'm trying the best I can. Honestly, it's pretty expensive to get it back up, so we'll see if I can find some cash to do that. But nonetheless, I am working on getting that back up and running because I think it was a good platform. I did spend a lot of time, money, effort into designing it and really working with my designer, not doing it myself. I'm not that talented. So I'm working on it. For those of you who are like, what the hell happened to the website? It's on the table. At least it's in discussion of trying to resurrect it. So stay tuned. And again, back to my my Twitter feed is probably where you'll see the most up to date information that of anything that happens, at least on my front. So, guys, it's WrestleMania season. Unbelievably, it's already WrestleMania season again. WrestleMania 34, just what, 34, 33 days away? Insane. It's April 8th, right? So it's March 7th. And so 32 days away, because there's 31 days in March. So 32 days away until WrestleMania 34. That almost doesn't sound real. I feel like I was just attending WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, but it is now WrestleMania season. And WWE is, the storylines are starting to take shape. Some of them favorable, some of them not. Some storylines not making a lot of sense, some of them being a bit predictable. But overall, I'm feeling, let me just say this. I feel better about this year's WrestleMania than I did last year's. We have some big matches on the table here. Obviously, John Cena and The Undertaker. That's going to happen. Anybody that doesn't think it isn't is a fool. I think, and I don't mean that in any disrespect, but if you follow WWE, at least for a year or less, or more, excuse me, a year or more, you probably understand the logic of the WWE psychology and booking. And when I say that, I mean they don't just tease you with a big match on TV and then bring you down to something lower. It just doesn't happen. They don't do that. They don't tease The Undertaker and John Cena with John Cena making challenging The Undertaker and then pulling back saying it's not going to happen, only to have a lesser match. You can't do that. It doesn't happen in WWE, barring some actual real injury outside of the ring to the competitors. So John Cena and The Undertaker is pretty much a lock. I don't see John Cena winning on Sunday at Fastlane. There, it just would not happen. You would then have John Cena versus Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania. Ain't going to happen. Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles is carved in stone. So and that leaves John Cena more depressed, more without a purpose. And he'll come on Raw the next night, and the gong will toll, and we'll have our match for WrestleMania 34. You can pretty much bank on that. So that is going to be an interesting match with John Cena and The Undertaker. I know it's not official, and but for all intents and purposes, come on, folks, it's official. I'm looking forward to it from a nostalgic standpoint, not from the expectation of I'm expecting a five-star match. I am expecting a nostalgic, slow-paced, back-and-forth, highly interactive crowd in that match that will be invested. I think you will have a John Cena that is going to be playing the heel in terms of crowd reaction, not that he's turning heel, and you'll have The Undertaker, who's clearly going to be the fan favorite. But the difference in this match, beyond its very low expectations from a in-ring perspective, is this could be Undertaker's final match. And how long have we been saying that, right? 10 years? More? But I think this is the way it happens. I think Undertaker comes out and says, this is it. My final match will be with you, John Cena. I think that that is how it's going to go out. I always believed that WWE would market the hell out of The Undertaker's last match. That would make sense. But The Undertaker is fading fast, folks. He didn't have the best of performances last year with Roman Reigns. Was it a terrible match? No. But I think there were some flaws in his performances or in his maneuvers and really his mobility inside the ring. And with Mark Calloway being a very prideful man, I highly doubt he's going to want to continue to deteriorate in front of fans' eyes to be a shell of what he was. I even think, as most performers, whether you have had matches with him or you have just seen him from a distance, respect him more than probably anyone in the business ever. And that's saying a lot. So, and again, I don't mean this with disrespect to The Undertaker, Mark Calloway, but I think he recognizes that it's time. And I don't believe that he thinks he is what he used to be. He can't. And I think it's time to stop deteriorating and withering away in front of fans' eyes, which is, I'm sorry, that's what he's been doing the past 2 to 3 years. So this should be it for The Undertaker. and I'll just leave it at that as all of us continue to speculate on when The Undertaker is going to officially retire. So that leaves Monday Night Raw. And I'm going to talk about some quick highlights here and points that are, in my mind, most important to talk about. And that is, number one, Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle versus Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. Now, I will say that Ronda, for being in the WWE for such a short period of time, has done, I think, a very good job. I wouldn't say excellent. I wouldn't say outstanding. I would just say very good. Her promos. And one thing, maybe you guys can clarify this for me. The Hulu version of Raw, which is how I watch Raw, 90 minutes, cut out half of Ronda's promo. And it started where she was talking about how in her contract she was allowed to pick her WrestleMania opponent. And the crowd kind of knew where that was going. And it suddenly cut to Ronda saying, and that's you, pointing, you know, at Stephanie. I'm guessing that there was probably some stumbling, bumbling, tripping up on words, or just overall lost of what she was going to say. Or they just decided to, hey, we need to make this 90 minutes. Let's just cut part of the promo and get to the point. So I don't know. But nonetheless, overall, I think Ronda has done an okay job on the mic. Good job from a physical standpoint, and a very good job from a body language standpoint. I could do without the smiling, you know, a la Finn Balor, who looks like he's a schoolgirl half the time, smiling all the time like it's picture day at school. I don't know. That irks me. I'm not a fan of that. But with Stephanie McMahon and Triple H, she's done a good job. And credit to Stephanie and Triple H for being able to carry a lot of the segments. Kurt Angle, as of late, has not been at his top game on the microphone at all. Stumbling on words, making just feeling like he's reading a script. And he feels like he's reading a script. So having Kurt Angle be the partner for Ronda Rousey, many of us thought Kurt Angle would bring in The Rock. Kurt Angle is obviously not what he used to be inside the ring, but I think that having Kurt with Ronda, with an Olympic gold medalist and a UFC champion, it's a very good, credible team to face Triple H and Stephanie. And what more surprising is Stephanie taking a bump before WrestleMania. Typically, she neuters everybody that she speaks with on the microphone and in the ring 364 days a year until you get to WrestleMania, where she'll take the soft bump or the accidental bump. So I was very surprised to see that segment that I thought was going to end after Stephanie retreated, to have Ronda give her I don't know if that was her finishing maneuver or just a Samoan drop. Nonetheless, it was nice to see Stephanie actually getting a little bit of retribution, or Ronda getting retribution on Stephanie. And this stems all the way back to WrestleMania 31, which is a nice long storyline, which is almost unheard of these days. So overall, a very good first few weeks in WWE for Ronda Rousey. I think the best that you can really hope for when you're making that transition from any sport, whatever it may be, to the main roster is it's difficult no matter what form of entertainment or what form of sport or whatever platform you're coming from to transition to WWE is not easy. I understand Ronda is a crazy good athlete. I understand all of her accomplishments in the UFC, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate nicely into WWE, into WWE world land. And so I think Ronda has done as good of a job as you could probably expect at this point. And I think it's only up from here for Ronda. She just has to continue to be authentic and real. And I think that is what they realize. And she can't just come in and start feeling like she's reading somebody else's words. She has to feel herself. And I think that's what they've allowed her to do. So props to WWE so far. I would give it, so far the build, 7.5, 8 on 1 to 10. Between the Ronda and Kurt and Triple H and Stephanie story, and I'm looking forward to it. I too would have liked to see The Rock actually be her partner and not Kurt Angle. However, there is a very storied rivalry between Kurt and Triple H, going back 15 years, so or more, back to almost 2000, so 18 years. They have a very, very long and storied rivalry that they could also decide to pull footage from. So, some other story. I mean, Nia Jax crying. Interesting. She whipped up tears authentically, very quickly, and it was believable. I think it was good. I really enjoyed it. I think Nia had one of her best nights of her career on camera. And that is, I think, a successful babyface turn. You had her lose clean to Asuka after fighting valiantly, and then having her lose, and then the fans clapping as she stood up, which was clearly a move by WWE to cut the music and see how the fans react when the music goes off and you have the loser stand up. Do the fans respect you? That's kind of like the cue for the fans to clap for you, and they went along with it, as I think they should have. And I think it was well done. Her crying in the back with Alexa talking to her was, I think, unexpected and good. She didn't say a word, just wept. And I think it is a babyface turn for Nia. a successful one at that. So I'm looking forward to what is next for her. I think with Nia Jax not being in a WrestleMania spot leaves a hole for the women's division at WrestleMania. Where does she fit in? Does she fit in at all? Is there a Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal first ever women's rumble? I don't know. Maybe. But we'll see. It's interesting. Something happened on Raw with Nia, and I'm interested in it. So we move forward to WrestleMania, and I think clearly Asuka is going to be crowned the new WWE Raw Women's Champion. So moving along here, the Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman interaction. Paul Heyman has been, how do I say it, not at his best. And coming from a Paul Heyman fan, while he is very well spoken and eloquent and engaging, what's missing from Paul Heyman lately is direction, context, followability. And maybe it's because I'm not that smart to follow what he's saying, but I shouldn't have to think too hard about what Paul Heyman is saying. It's hard to be down on Paul Heyman's promos, but when they feel like they just have no direction. Like, it's just kind of, you're thinking like, okay, get to the point. Get to something like I can sink my teeth into. It's like he talks in circles now. And even the crowd would listen to the crowd. They don't know how to react to him because he's Paul Heyman. And we love his promos. But when he speaks in circles, I feel like he could cut out 75% of what he's talking about, whatever it may be, with Brock Lesnar, and just get to the point. I don't know what it is lately. Paul Heyman, I don't know if he's just trying to use big words to annoy the audience, but he just, it's almost rambling. It's well-spoken ramble, if that makes sense. He's well-spoken, and he knows probably the majority of the Webster's Dictionary, and that's great, but this is professional wrestling. And I want to be able to follow what you're saying without having to dive too deep into it. It's like trying to dissect a Bray Wyatt promo. Like, what? After a while, it's like, it's intriguing, but like, what the hell did he just say? And that was kind of the way I felt with Paul Heyman. And I don't know. Maybe it was part of, but even, and I was thinking maybe part of the heel turn with Brock, which they're clearly trying to do. But at the same time, he's been doing this since Brock was still framed as a babyface. So I don't know. Maybe just Paul doesn't have a whole lot of content to work with. They don't script it, so they just say, hey, Paul, go out there and just talk about blah, blah, blah for however many minutes. And he has to ramble on and fill it in with fluff and stuff that just doesn't make sense. And you have to try to filter out what actually is relevant in what he's talking about. I don't know. But I overall, like I'll say I don't enjoy Paul Heyman's promos lately. Because of the fact that they are just so difficult to really feel. Just like, what are you talking about? Like, what? Like, he's talking about the WWE champion, the Universal Championship being Brock's bitch. And I don't know. It felt weird. I know they're trying to play to the audience's general view and frustration that Brock is never there and that he doesn't really want to be there. So smart on WWE's part to do that. It's smart. I understand why they're doing it, and it's the best approach that they could have, which, by the way, I don't believe Brock didn't show up last week. I think that was a very elaborate, scripted work by WWE, and some people bought into it. I didn't. Nonetheless, it was still Roman Reigns' best promo to date. But still a work, folks. That's why I'm still not going to cheer for Roman Reigns. However, Roman, whether it was a work or not, is still delivering his best promos. It's like a switch went off, and I think maybe in creative backstage, Vince was just like, all right, the hell with it. Here, you don't need a script anymore. Just talk about this and this and put it in your own words. Like, I feel as if that's maybe what happened. Something just switched. Like a light for Roman. And whatever it is, it's working. Is it going to make me cheer for Roman Reigns? Hell no. There's just been too much damage, at least for me, and struggle over the last 3 years. Was it really worth it, Vince? Was it really worth the loss of him being a great heel over the last 3 years to try to shove him down everybody's throats, as the whole phrase goes that everyone uses for Roman? But I don't think so. So don't expect me to cheer for him, because I know Vince cares about what I think. So anyway, that's my thoughts on the whole Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Although I'm looking forward to the match, I think Roman goes over. I still think Roman gets booed at WrestleMania. I'm very interested to see how the WrestleMania crowd reacts, even if they try to frame Brock as this part-time, never show up, doesn't really want to be here champion that the collective audience gets frustrated at times with. But guess what? When he shows up, the people are interested. So is he as hot as he was back in WrestleMania 31? No, definitely not. But I think it's still going to be, it could be, as I said, the match of the night. The issue never was with Roman about having good matches. I don't care. I don't care if he has good matches. It's not about him having good matches. That's not the only determining factor of the audience's reaction. It's the perception of what he is going on backstage and the fact that he just wasn't ready. So at the time, anyway, he may be ready now for the spotlight. But back, you know, the last 3 years, he wasn't. He wasn't for the lead babyface role anyway. So but I'm looking forward to Fastlane, guys. I do have to get to work. I'm doing this before I go to work. So those of you who watch Fastlane, I hope you enjoy it. I'm going to try to tweet throughout that show and be a little more interactive and try to be more consistent on these as well. I'm in the middle of watching SmackDown, and it'd be interesting. Quick thought on SmackDown, I believe AJ Styles comes out on top in the six-pack challenge. You could put a six-pack, eight-pack, 10-pack, don't care. You could put a Royal Rumble-style match. AJ Styles is going to come out the champion. It just wouldn't make sense. AJ wins, comes out on top. I think you have Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn turn on Kevin Owens as an elaborate hoax that he was ever on his side. And you have Sami versus Kevin at WrestleMania. That is my guess. I think you have Charlotte retain against Ruby Riott. So those are my quick thoughts, and the Usos retain against New Day. So, guys, thank you for joining me. And everybody, have a good day. I'll talk to you next time.